look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, how we thank you and praise you for that wonderful love, our Savior's love, that sets us free from our sins. We thank you so much for the salvation that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ and all the blessings that we enjoy day by day. Thank you that we can look to you for strength and courage and wisdom and understanding as we go from day to day. We pray, O Lord, that you'd look down upon us with mercy and grace today. Speak to each and every heart, encourage us and strengthen us and help us through all of the problems and things that come in life, that we might look to you and know that you are with us to help us in every situation. We just pray that our Lord Jesus would be glorified in everything that we do today. We do love you, Lord, and we do want to serve you. We pray that you'd help us to walk in fellowship with you and do your will. Be with those that cannot be with us this morning. We ask your blessings upon them. If there's any that are ill, we pray that you will restore them to health and bring them back to us again as soon as possible. May your holy will be done, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And we'll turn to page 5 this morning. We'll be in Genesis chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42. Now, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, "Why do you look one upon another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die." And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure some mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, "Whence come ye?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan, to buy food." And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, "You are spies, to see the nakedness of the land you are come." And they said unto him, "Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are one man's sons. We are true men, thy servants are no spies." And he said unto them, "Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land you are come." And they said, "Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not." And Joseph said unto them, that is it that I spoke unto you, saying, "You're spies. Hereby ye shall be proved by the life of Pharaoh. Ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you. Or else, by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies." And he put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, "This do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go, carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother to me. So shall your words be verified, and you shall not die." And they did so. And they said one to another, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore, is this distress come upon us? And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child? And you would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again and communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, and to restore every man's money into his sack, and to give them provision for the way, and thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn, and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in the sack's mouth. And he said to his brethren, My money is restored. And lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, What is this that God has done to us? And they came unto Jacob their father into the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell them, saying, The man who is the Lord of the land spoke roughly to us, took us for spies of the country. And we said to him, We are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the Lord of the country, said unto us, Hereby shall I know that you are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother to me. Then shall I know that you are no spies, but that you are true men. So will I deliver you for your brother, and you shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, Me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and you will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way into which you go, then shall you bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Quite the story, huh? All right. We'll see what happens pretty soon here. Looking at Joseph and his brothers in just a moment, but let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts. This wonderful story that we read in the scriptures that has so many lessons for us to learn. We pray that you'll help us, our Father, to glean from this passage of Scripture the truths that we need for ourselves, that we might walk in fellowship with you and do your will day by day. Teach us, O Lord, your precepts. Help us to walk in righteousness and truth. We do thank you for each person who is here today, and Lord, you know the need of every heart. You know where we are with you, and we pray that you will work in our lives, help us, that we might be faithful, true, that we might truly understand what the Scriptures are saying, that we might indeed know the Lord Jesus as our Savior and Lord. And we pray that your holy will be accomplished. We do pray for those who are suffering today. We ask you to be with any that are ill. We think again of Ken Weber. We pray for him. We pray for Nancy Smith. And we pray for George Consolo. And Lord, we pray for Judy Jennings as she's in the rest home at Phoenixville. We pray that you'll undertake for her and help her to know that we are thinking about her and praying for her and that you're with her. And we pray that she would have that joy of the Lord as her strength in the midst of her problems. And Lord, we just ask you to undertake for all of us and help us that we might indeed look to you in our time of need. We know that that's the best place to come, to the foot of the cross, to where Jesus died for us, and to plead the blood of Christ over our lives. So we do that, our Father, and pray your holy will be done today. Bless your word to our hearts. We pray for our missionaries. We ask you to bless each one of them today. We ask you to supply their needs. We know that they're busy reaching out to others and winning people to Christ and establishing churches, and we thank you for each and every one for the work that they're doing and reaching people with the gospel. And we just ask you to continue to help us here as a church, that we might see more people coming. We might be able to reach out to our neighbors and friends and invite them. We pray that your holy will be accomplished. Lead us and guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Joseph and his brothers. You know, it's been 22 years since his older brothers sold Joseph as a slave. And he was taken into Egypt. You remember? The Ishmaelites took him down and sold him to this important political man, head of the prison system, Potiphar. But when their father asked them here to go to Egypt and buy food, he says, he asked them a question. Why do you look one upon another? Yeah, they were a little reluctant to go to Egypt, you see, because they knew that that's where they had sent Joseph, right? And he says, why are you looking so strange? You know, we need to go, you need to go and buy the grain that we need in order to save our families from perishing, from dying of hunger. And they were a little reluctant to go. They had not forgotten about Joseph. That's obvious, wasn't it? As you read through the story, you can see that that's always fresh on their mind. Every time some little something would happen, they would think, it's about Joseph, you see. It's hard to get away from a bad conscience, isn't it? A guilty conscience. And that's what these men had. They, you know, they say time heals all wounds. But that doesn't always hold true, does it? You know, our physical wounds heal a long time before the spiritual, emotional ones do. And I'm sure that they were haunted by all that they had gone through with Joseph and wished that it had been different. They wished they could go back and change all of that. But it was too late, wasn't it? You know, regret, remorse, all these things. We talked this morning in Sunday school about repentance and the difference between remorse and repentance. Repentance is something, you know, that we change our mind and our attitude towards God, towards ourselves. We realize that we are not good in ourselves, that we need Him, we need Jesus. And it changes our whole way of thinking. Repentance and faith just go together. And that's what these men were feeling guilty. But whether they had repented or not, it remains to be seen. Nevertheless, because of the famine, they agreed to go down and to buy grain to feed their families. They had no way of knowing that far from being a slave, that Joseph was now the number two man in Egypt, and he was in charge of all the food supply. And so finally we see, first of all, Joseph and his brothers come together. Joseph is in charge of giving out the supplies, and the brothers come in looking to buy some food. And here they meet together, and Joseph recognizes them. But they don't know who he is, you see. It's been, as I said, 22 years. He was 17 years old when they last saw him. Now he's in his 30s. And so he's changed a great deal. And besides that, you know, the Egyptians, they shaved. The Hebrews, of course, had their big bushy beards. But the Egyptians shaved completely their heads and everything. And he was there all dressed up in these elegant robes in charge. And they had no clue that it was Joseph. He spoke to them in Egyptian, you see. Someone interpreted for him. And so they were completely in the dark about who this man was. But Joseph recognized them. He knew who they were. And it says something here in verse 9. And Joseph remembered the dreams. You remember those famous dreams when he was just a teenager? Of the 11 sheaves of grain bowing down to his sheaf. You see this picture here? What are they getting there to buy? Grain, right? And what are they doing? They're bowing down to this man, right? In homage, because he's an important person. They don't realize that he's their baby brother. But at any rate, we find here that they are completely in the dark. And he's thinking about the dreams. He said, aha. You know, he's always been governed, I believe, by what God revealed to him in these dreams. You know, throughout all of his life, he hasn't had an easy life. And yet, he's made the best of it because he knew that God was with him. And as he says a little bit later over here, he tells his brothers, I fear God. You see? He had the same religion, if you want to call it that, but he had a real reverence for the true and the living God. And we find here that God was leading him and opening up the way. And here, sure enough, after all these years, his dream is coming true. But you notice there's only 10 brothers here. And there were 11 that were going to bow down to him. So he knew that Benjamin had to come as well. And that's the reason he's insisting here on having Benjamin come down and have all 11 of them there and to fulfill his dream completely, you see. And then, of course, later his father came as well, and they all were there together. But here we find he sets in motion this test that he has for them. He's putting them to a test to see if they have truly repented of what they did to him and of their sins in general. You know, whether they are really servants of God or whether they are continuing to live for themselves in their own selfish way. And so he sets the motion, he sets the test in motion by accusing them of being spies. You see, they came just to buy grain, right? Thought that that would be it. But here, Jacob said, aha, you've come, not Jacob, Joseph. Joseph said, you've come to see the nakedness of the land. You want to see how weak Egypt is so that you can come and invade and take over, right? You're spies, says it over and over. And no doubt they were trembling in their boots, so to speak, right? I can imagine how they must have felt having this important man think that they were spies. And to be a spy in those days, you know what? They didn't fool around. They would get rid of them right away. But anyway, they told him, no, we're 12 sons. of one man. There's 10 of us here. The youngest is still with our father, and the other one is not. They thought he was not, but he was. How's that? He was very much alive and very much with them, but they did not realize that. And so they tell him all about their family. And Joseph says, well, what you're going to have to do is bring your younger brother here. If you don't bring him back, then I'll know that you're spies, and that's the end of it. So we find here that Joseph, it tells him he worships the same God that they do. He tells them he has no desire to harm them, but insists that they follow his directions and do exactly what he has asked them to do. So they leave one of the brothers, Simeon, as a hostage, and they prepare to go back home again with the food that they've purchased for their families. But then we have a conversation, and we see some signs of repentance on the part of these brothers in verse 21. And they said one to another, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us." See, that's the reason we're in this predicament. It's because of what we did to Joseph. They admit that they're guilty. So they're confessing the fact that they did wrong. They're seeing it, and that God is bringing them to the place of judging their actions, their sins. And they're obviously sorry for the way that they treated Joseph. Now he's going to try them to see whether or not they really are going to change their attitude, their selfishness, their way of life, or if they're going to continue on. And so here we find that Joseph tells his men to fill the sacks with grain and to put the money back in the sack. He doesn't want to charge them for the food that they're taking home to their families. It's his family too. And besides that, it's a test, I think, to see what they will do when this happens. Are they going to keep the money, or are they going to bring it back again and try to make things right? So he is putting them to a special test here to see what they're going to do. Notice it says that they were talking, confessing their sins and so forth, and they didn't realize that Joseph could understand them, and said he was overcome with emotion and had to go in a quiet place and weep, and then return and send them on their way. So they went, and as they stopped at one of the, it says an inn, place to spend the night. It would take several days to make this trip. And they opened the sack and found that the money was there in the sack. And they began to get worried about that. And and yet they didn't know what to make of it. So they're kind of uncertain about the whole thing, you know. And, when you think about that, uncertainty. And so often in our lives, I think we face different circumstances that we don't know exactly what to make of it. You wonder, well, why did that happen? Why did this happen? And yet, here they are in a quandary, wondering. And they ask the question, I love this question. What is this that God has done to us? You ever think of that? When something happens, somebody gets sick, someone may even die, something, you know, what is God trying to teach us in this, you know? Or why did this happen to us? We're trying to do the best we can, and it happens, doesn't it? You know, life goes on. But here they said, notice how they realize that they are accountable to God. What is this that God has done to us? Is this some kind of a divine trick? You know, our money has been returned in the bags. How could that possibly happen? We bought this grain and now we're going to be in trouble for that. They're going to think we're thieves as well as spies. You know, and on we go. But we find here that they finally arrive back home again and report back to Jacob and explain to him all of these strange things that have happened. And they wonder, you know, well, what an adventure this was, you know, to go and they explained to him all that they had been through and that the Lord of the land had treated them so roughly. He had not been kind to them at all. They had been through all of these inquisitions, so to speak, and accusing them of being spies and demanding that they bring their younger brother when they return. Of course, Jacob refused to hear that. He was afraid that Benjamin would meet some kind of misfortune along the way. So he said, no, absolutely not. You're not going to take my son away. I've already lost Joseph. And Simeon is not here. And now you want Benjamin to go. And he says, notice verse 36. Jacob their father said unto them, me ye have bereaved of my children. He says, you guys, it's your fault. You know. And Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and you will take Benjamin away. Notice the rest of that. All these things are against me. Now stop and think about that, folks. You know, what about this? These 10 men had gone down to Egypt on this long journey, spent all that time down there, negotiated, got the grain, brought it back so that no one would starve to death. And what does Jacob say? All these things are against me. Oh, woe is me, I am undone, right? Huh? You know, how? You know, that would be funny if it wasn't true so often with each one of us. Huh? We can't see the bright for the dark, right? And here God had done a marvelous work. Here they had enough food to eat for a long time. They could survive this famine. And he says, oh, all things are against me. Huh? And his faith, it seems, was very, very weak at this time. You know? And it's easy, I know, when things seem to go wrong to think, well, it's all black. And my life is over, you know. You know, something happens. You get a flat tire. I got a tire that's leaking, by the way. Anyway, I got to get it fixed. But anyway, anything that happens in life, all of a sudden, it's, wow, I just can't make it any longer, right? And usually there is an answer if we will seek for it. And God knows exactly what's happening. He's orchestrating all of this for their good, and yet they don't understand that. You see, oh, everything's against me. I'm finished, you know. And so anyhow, no praise for God for the safe arrival of his sons after this long journey. No thanks is given, as far as we know, for all the food that they brought back to save their life. It's amazing how unthankful people can be in the midst of great blessings. You know, we always want more. More. Right? It doesn't matter how much God blesses in certain areas. Well, he didn't bless me over here. You know. Isn't that right? And so there's questions, yes. They wondered about some of these things. They wondered what were they going to do about returning this money. And how are they going to see this man again without taking Benjamin? And these questions, yes. But it wasn't the end of the world. You know? So often, we exaggerate. And here we find, as Christians, we say we are trusting the Lord. But so often, we fall into despair and depression when things seem to go wrong. Right? In this story, we find that Jacob and his sons did not know what was happening. They did not have a clear understanding of what was going on. They only saw their guilt and failure. They only saw the problems. They did not know what God was doing behind the scenes. From the beginning, the Lord prepared the way for Joseph and his entire family. But only Joseph depended upon God's leading. He believed the message he received from God. He did not let the circumstances discourage him. We see him in control because he was trusting in God. He said, "I fear God." And he walked in obedience to his will. His brothers were afraid that God was punishing them and did not understand what was happening. As the story unfolds, we'll see the amazing way that God provides for his people and remains faithful to the promises that he made. Today, God remains faithful to us and to all of those who place their faith and trust in him, in the Lord Jesus, salvation. He wants our eternal welfare, and we can trust him. God loves his children and will ultimately meet our needs. Maybe not immediately, but ultimately. His plan is perfect. So praise his holy name. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your word to our hearts today. We pray that we might take these lessons to heart and that we might profit from this story, that we might learn something that will be helpful to us as we face life day by day. May your holy will be done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me.